There's something new in the world called an independent podcaster. And I'm going to talk about why an independent voice, independent voices in podcasting are essential these days in podcast 837, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, one of my great clients is John D. Scott, personal injury lawyer. And you have heard me every now and then asking, what do you do if you're injured at work or play? Do you handle the insurance and workers' comp claims by yourself? Because if you're going to do that, you're going to have a dining room table full of bills and pieces of paper and things that will be very difficult for you to understand. And this is why it's a good idea to have somebody like John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates available as your personal injury lawyer. Now, John has been dealing with, talking about recently, people who are really egregiously injured, and it throws the family into a crisis. There's all kinds of questions as to whether that person's going to have income and whether they're going to recover, and it can happen without warning. And so you actually need a personal injury attorney who can navigate through the process. And let me tell you, before I give John's number, he has worked with HR departments. He works constantly with people who have these problems, and he's also a litigator. So John's not afraid to go to court, but as he's often said, you know, he can solve a lot of problems without having to do that. It's just, you know, having someone who understands the ins and outs, or what I call the thicket of this. Because again, accidents come without warning, especially when you're having fun or when you are working. I heard a story this week about a guy who was working for a delivery company, won't say who, and the proprietor of the business was locking up and went around back, and here was this guy holding his arm. This is a young man holding his arm, and was apparently having a heart attack. So is there a liability issue there with my friend who was the business owner? And obviously there's a liability issue there with the company. So this is why, because you never know when it's going to happen to you. So here is John Scott's number with Hoffman, Hamer & Associates, 952-683-1351, 952-683-1351. The thing here is, you should put the number aside. You hear numbers all the time in these advertisements. I'd put it aside because you never know when you can use it. Or you can just go to the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and click on the banner with John's picture, and that will take you to jdsinjurylaw.com. They have a contact page there, and you can share details of your problem with John D. Scott, personal injury attorney at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. Now, we are finally getting into some hot weather, and if you haven't turned your AC on, and you're like me, because I never turn it on, but some people wait until it gets really warm, and they haven't had it checked. So I'm going to recommend Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all your systems running right, you want somebody who knows what they're doing. You want quality and reliable service, and that's Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. More about them later in the podcast. Well, it's late again in the evening, which means you may or may not, if you have headphones on, hear planes landing. It drives me crazy because I can hear it in my headphones. You may not be able to hear it. That's my only disclaimer. The other thing is, it's been a while since I just did an Easy Talker podcast about podcasting. And the reason I want to do it this way, that means no notes. I know what I want to talk about, but I don't have any notes. So I'm probably going to end up jumping around because there are a million things going through my head. And I just had dinner and I'm drinking some coffee, and I just want to knock this out because I think it's an interesting wrinkle on things and media things going on in the world today, especially for podcasters, if you're listening about what to do next. So I'm qualified, obviously, to talk about this because I've been podcasting since 2009 and, you know, have almost 1,000 podcasts, almost all of them sponsored. Monetization of this project has been extremely difficult with a lot. It's usually two steps forward, one step back, and it's even more difficult when you are supporting yourself with a podcast, which is why this question of independent podcasters comes up. So I don't really know if I want to go through a long soliloquy about what podcasting is and how to define these different things and what's going on, except to say that podcasting is still very new. And I know this because I deal with small businesses every week who have varying degrees of knowledge about podcasting, whether they are podcast listeners or not, varying degrees of sophistication for marketing and advertising. And so from the business side, I can tell you that this is a very, very new quote-unquote industry. In fact, I don't even know if it qualifies yet to be an industry. There are a lot of people listening to podcasts. 36 or 37% of the public downloads a podcast at least once a month. Many people more than that. It's definitely a phenomenon with younger adults, but it is starting to be, pretty ubiquitous as we get better phones and 5G. Sorry for people that think that 5G is the end of the world, but as we get 5G and higher speeds and less, low latency and things of that nature, it's only going to become much easier to download podcasts as time goes on. And I don't want to spend a half an hour, because this is what happens as soon as I start talking about this. Then I start going down these rabbit holes of where do you get a podcast and how many of them are there and who cares? That's not what I want to talk about. So when I started podcasting in 2009, there was This Week in Tech, there was Adam Carolla, there were no local podcasts that I knew, there were some wrestling podcasts that people were doing, and a few other things. Radio stations at that point didn't even have podcasts up on their radio stations these days are either into podcasting or they would take basically air checks of the shows and throw them up as podcasts on their websites. They weren't even doing that then or had just started doing that then. And I didn't have any – first of all, I didn't even want to do it. Somebody made me do it, and I didn't want to do it. And it was a pain in the ass. Even Apple at the time, the Genius Bar didn't even know how to get a podcast on the internet. So it was a huge learning curve, technically speaking, in terms of getting this thing up there. And today, people just go to blogtalkradio.com or Spreaker or one of these aggregated services, and they just upload their podcast like you upload a video on YouTube. They don't even think about whether or not they should be hosting their own podcasts or how that's done or anything else. And that's fine. You have, you have this sort of, I'll just put it this way. You have this kind of coalescence right now of these different platforms, and the industry is growing simply because of the fact that people are downloading so many podcasts. But here's the thing that's interesting to me. So when you're an independent podcaster, when you're a little guy doing a podcast, you're not affiliated with a local radio station, you're not affiliated with some major aggregating site like Podcast One where they're paying you, or you're not a famous athlete that someone says, hey, we're gonna write the podcast for you and we'll have somebody produce it and you just come in and say, we'll write it for you and you just read it or whatever you want to do and we'll make it happen. Or you're not, I could go through all the details. There are so many permutations of podcasts. When you're just a little guy doing a podcast, you're watching all of this coalescence of this becoming an industry. I don't think it's an industry yet. So I think we're getting there. But I mean, people are listening to podcasts. So there are something like 500,000 podcasts, and there'll probably be a million by the time you hear this podcast. And most of them, as I've said 100 times, are virtually unlistenable. One of the things that happens all the time as a podcaster is people, in normal conversation, they say, so for people who have full-time jobs and they do a podcast on Saturday to talk about motorcycles or something, when you ask them what they do, they say, well, I'm a pipe fitter. Oh, great. Well, and what else do you do? I camp and I fish and I do this or I do that. Oh, and yeah, me and my friends do a podcast. Oh, really? When people say, what do you do? Like, what's your job? And you say, well, I'm a podcaster. They go, wow, that's great. What's that like? And everything else. And they are immediately interested. So podcasting itself has that cachet that radio used to have a long, long time ago. And I can tell you the difference between radio and podcasting in the sense that today, if you tell people that you're a talk show host, on a local radio station, the minute you tell them that you're on a local radio station, they immediately think it's political and they want to put you in a box that says you're this or that, and then they want to argue with you. And that's the experience. It's a very negative, toxic experience from my point of view as a talk show host or as a content creator. It's immediately a negative experience. You know, you're lucky if you do a podcast about yoga, or if you do a podcast about building houses, or if you do a podcast about motorcycles or something, because then when people say, what's your podcast about? You say, oh, I talk about, you know, motorcycles. Oh, yeah. And then they want to talk about motorcycles. And it's everybody's interested. So it doesn't become that thing. When you do a politics and society podcast, the first thing they want to do is talk politics, and they want to put you in a box. And it's really irritating because I don't want to be in that kind of a box. And this is where we get into this question about independent podcasting. And I don't want this necessarily to be about politics, but in this sense, it is about politics and society, because if you listen to my previous podcast, to this one, podcast 836, I talked about you know, how I want to cover the 2020 election, and I talk about the nature of media today, that it's almost all advocacy. And the thing that's interesting about what happened with YouTube and what has happened with podcasting, and it happened first in a sense with blogging, was it democratized, for lack of a better term, media. So prior to blogging, prior to YouTube, prior to podcasting, everybody, if you wanted to talk about politics, or if you were interested in politics, if you were interested in that kind of stuff, you had to go to a media outlet. So you had to watch cable TV news, you had to listen to talk radio, you had to listen to the radio. And it was also true in music as well, until we started to get iTunes and things of that nature in music, where if you wanted to hear music, you had to listen to the radio. And if you were a musician, you had to get your song on the radio. And it some musicians kind of figured out that if they just toured a lot and were jam bands in their region, they could build first a local following, then a regional following, and then they might be able to parlay that into a record contract somewhere. So what happened with digital media is it democratized across the board, because now your band could play somewhere and you could post it on YouTube, or you could go on some rant about something and post it on YouTube. You didn't have to go to the local radio station. You didn't have to go to the CNN or Fox News or someplace like that and try to get a job because you were loquacious. Today, anybody who has the gift of gab can put up a YouTube channel or do a podcast or whatever it is that they have, a blog or whatever, and they become essentially an authority. And this is something that the powers that be do not like, and we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, people can still get AC checks from Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. I would still recommend it early enough in the year. It's still pretty cool out there because we're probably going to have a hot summer. I just have that feeling. And when it gets really hot and you decide, well, it's the one or two days of the year in Minnesota I'm going to use my AC, and you turn it on and it doesn't work, this is why you have AC checks. When they come out to do the AC check, ask Ryan Plumbing and Heating about updating some of the other things in your house. So they've got these one-flush toilets that are much more efficient than the toilets you might have in your house that are 60 years old that are still leaking or some other issue with them. There's also appliances that use water that need to be addressed. They also have water heaters that heat on demand, and they're much more efficient than your old water heater. Things of that nature, because when you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service. That's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, four generations in St. Paul's Frogtown, residential and business. And you can check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, so that is, you know, West St. Paul, you know, South St. Paul, any place over on that side of the river, Invergrove Heights, going south towards Burnville, Shakopee, coming up west, Plymouth and St. Louis Park, and north, Maple Grove and Osseo, places of that nature. 651-224-4771, New Hope in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. okay, very hard for me to kind of get to the point sometimes because I feel like I have to do all this groundwork to set the table so people understand what I'm talking about. So this is a podcast for podcasters. This isn't some political podcast for people to listen to and go, yeah, I agree or disagree. This isn't some podcast about society that says people aren't teaching their kids stuff right. Or this is about people who are in the business of content creation. And I really hit on it at the very end there when I said, in the first half of the podcast, when I said, the powers that be do not like that. They want to be able to control the process, the chain of command, so to speak, from a concept or idea being put out into the quote unquote arena of ideas. And becoming part of the discourse, whether it is about music or whether it is about politics or society or anything. The powers that be don't like that. So the most successful podcasts these days are podcasts that are conceived of and produced by public radio, public television, or companies that have gone into business producing very, popular podcasts. So if you looked at a list of the top 20 podcasts, most of them are done by Vox. They're done by Vice. They're done by Vice News. They're done by public radio. They're done by companies that produce podcasts like you produce television shows, which is actually very interesting. So they are series podcasts, either about serial killers or about some particular subject, or they're knockoffs from public radio shows or something to that effect. And they are really, there's a lot of work that goes into them. They're recorded in recording studios. They are fully written and produced. They're staffs. I have a friend who just left her job as a producer of not a local podcast, but a national podcast to go work for, I think it's NBC. And the idea here is that you got all these TV producers who are running around that don't have anything to do in television because they got fired or the project ended or whatever, and they are now suddenly being employed in the podcasting realm to help produce podcasts. And this is the formula. So you come up with this idea, whatever it is. You know, serial killer. A good one is Chernobyl, which is now an HBO miniseries. It started out as a podcast. And you find people who are going to be good voices. So maybe you find an actor or you find somebody who's familiar or you get a writer, and then the podcast is produced. So the person voicing the podcast is talent. They walk in, they read something in the studio, they walk away, and that's it. Somebody else puts the podcast together, finds the art, clears all of the music, gets everything squared away, just like you do a TV show, and then puts it out there. And that's how they're produced. And those are very successful. It's a very interesting model for producing a podcast. Then the next tier would be people who have become successful doing their own podcast, like Adam Carolla, who predates all those people, Leo Laporte, who predates all of this, and a number of other people. I don't have enough names, but there are podcasts that have been around, whether they are about technology or sports or politics and society or comedy or whatever. They've been around for a while. Some of those guys have migrated to YouTube, and they've had successful podcasts, and then they migrated to YouTube. There's a comedian. I don't see him much on YouTube because it's not in my feed because I don't watch too much comedy on YouTube, but he had ended up with a TV show based on his having his podcast in his garage, that kind of stuff. And sometimes these people sort of make a foray into politics and they're still independent voices by virtue of the fact that they have had a very successful podcast early on. Well, now the whole industry, so to speak, is heavily populated with these podcasts. So the next tier down, I guess, would be local guys who have become successful on the radio, either in political talk radio or just doing a morning show somewhere for a while on the local rock station. And they got fired and they started a podcast and it's been pretty successful, whether it's New York City or whether it, like Opie and Anthony, that Opie guy has got a podcast, I think, or whether it's in Minneapolis, St. Paul, me, I'm a guy who got fired from radio that started a podcast, and others, they're you know, sort of upstarts all over the place. Los Angeles, mostly bigger markets where people have Steve Dahl in Chicago. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he had a podcast for a while. But then he migrated back to the radio, and you know, the podcast is sort of a bridge technology. Well, I got fired, so I guess I'm going to do a podcast for a while and then go back on the radio. Well, here's what happens in media today, and now we're going to get into the political part of this, and I think this is really important. So what happens is this. And this was my experience when I went back on the radio after working at KSTP for 9 years. And by the way, at KSTP, I don't think there was only once, and that was on 9/11 when they were struggling to figure out how they were going to handle the fallout from 9/11, that there was a meeting to discuss content and how we were approaching content. I don't care who it was, who the program director was, who the general manager was. They never really said anything to us about content unless we did something stupid. And even then, it was, you know, if you said, I thought I was going to get fired because I said the F word once. And they were like, you know, we're going to self-report. Don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to fire you for that, but you are going to get a note in your file. Okay, fine. So nobody ever said, you can't talk about this, or you shouldn't talk about this, or you shouldn't say this, until they decided they wanted to have the Minnesota Twins on the radio station, which essentially destroyed it, you know, to be quite honest with you, because the talk audience and the sports audience, never the twain shall meet. Not to mention the fact that most of the quote-unquote conservative listeners to KSTP were incensed that the public had anything to do with building a new Twin Stadium. But that's another story. And so I never really encountered, you know, then it was an issue of, well, you can't talk against the Twins. And then when I went over to the Clear Channel station to do mornings, we were told that there were things we could talk about and things that we couldn't talk about. And when we pushed things too hard, they freaked out. And, you know, this is what I've said for years. Here's the thing about politics. Politics is a contact sport. You know, it's not this friendly little arena of ideas. When you express an opinion in politics today that people don't agree with, that breaks through, they want to kill you. They don't want to just shut you up. They want you to die. They want you to have cancer and die. That's what they want. I've said this before. This is, and I don't care what side of the spectrum it is. People who disagree with an idea, they, especially if it's presented in just the right way, if they don't like what you're saying, they want to kill you, and they want you to have an accident and die. They wish on you the worst possible, the very negative, toxic experience. And you know, that's a lot of people think, oh, talk radio must be really fun. And just imagine if you went to a party and expressed an opinion people didn't like, and they all beat you up. That's that's what talk radio is like. And the thing that I learned about Clear Channel is that in the last 20 years in this country, last 30 years in this country, radio as a business has consolidated into these mega corporations, which are easier to control. And, you know, Clear Channel, iHeart is owned by Mitt Romney. It is owned by people like that. The other media companies are all owned by wealthy people. And local media is all owned. You know, Glenn Taylor, who is a billionaire and owns the basketball team, owns the Star Tribune. You know, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, and so on and so on. So these major people own these media outlets. Then you have these people doing podcasts that have emerged from the swamp of political advocacy, whether it is Breitbart or whether it is the Mercers or whether it is the guy who created the foundation around his radio show to go out and pitch the Constitutional Convention and his followers on that platform, or whether what would might have been called the thing that Glenn Beck did. I always forget the name of it, The Blaze, which now someone else owns, and it's a website, but it's a platform for quote-unquote conservative voices. So, you know, most of the people doing podcasts today are working through these giant groups, which have the oomph to digitally market and to help you do what you do. And it's like working for a big radio company. And especially when you're talking about political points of view and, let's say, the Mercers, who are on the right end of the political spectrum, they're not going to, or Salem Broadcasting, let's say, they're not going to let you attack a position that they disagree with. So the Salem group is basically Jesus and anti-abortion. That's their thing. And that's okay. I'm not putting them down for it, but they're not going to let somebody come on and diss that position and make fun of that position, which I often do. They're not going to let that happen. Same is true with these other, you know, Clear Channel / iHeart has made a decided move away from controversial talk radio because they're chickens. They're cowards. And what they now have are people that are, you know, laughing it up every day and talking about sports and talking about nonsense because they don't want to take any risks. And that's the nature of media. So you have all this advocacy media, which for podcasters, you want to get a great podcast, get on board one of those advocacy media deals and they'll set you up. But then when you go to say something they don't agree with, they will pull the rug out from under you so fast it'll make your head swim and you won't know what to do. And that's true on YouTube or, you know, the platform itself, YouTube. Or iTunes, or, I'm trying to think of the other one that just did it recently, well, Twitter, et cetera, will shut down what you're trying to do super fast. And then finally, there's this whole subset of people doing podcasts because they think it'll help their business, and they were told by somebody somewhere, you should do a podcast. Don't buy advertising on a podcast. Just do your own podcast, and that's great. Well, no one's going to listen to it. So then you have this whole subset of people in podcasting who are what I would refer to as independent voices. These are people who are financing their own effort, who say whatever they want, and try to monetize through some form of advertising. And I'm going to say, to end this podcast, I'm going to emphasize how significantly important it is to have independent voices in podcasting. And I don't care what your position is. Maybe you're a podcaster and your position is that you think that we should get rid of, you're a communist. You know, good for you. You should be able to podcast and put your stuff up there and, you know, spout your communism and people should be able to react to it. You shouldn't be in a situation where somebody says, hey, you know, you guys think Karl Marx is great, but if you talk about it this way again, we're going to pull the plug. The point of monetizing where you have multiple clients is if somebody pulls the plug, well, it's not the end of the world. It may be close to the end of the world, but you can replace that client with somebody else who's more compatible. So independent voices, especially when it comes to politics and society today, are really, really important. And it's the independent voices that these people who are running things are terrified of, because the fact is, in the digital realm, so podcasting falls in between, you know, I was going to talk about this for sales purposes, but I don't know if I'm going to or not. Podcasting falls in between the realm of talk radio and radio and social media. So that's a pretty wide spectrum. It's a digital media form that is audio-based. And we're not talking about YouTube. We're talking about audio podcasts and functions in some ways like social media. So it's kind of like blogging, social media, radio, all thrown together into one thing. It's a very unique and strange thing. And we need people who are independent voices because almost everywhere people turn today. So let's say you start a podcast. The best way to describe it is this. Let's suppose that I became super popular and my podcast just blew up and everybody was like, this Bob Davis podcast thing is great. And thank you. If that happens, great. And Fox News said, or CNN said, you know what, Bob Davis, we want you to have a show on our network and we think you're great. How long do you think it would be before it became a situation where the pressure was so great that I was basically pulling my punches? I don't pull my punches. And the reason I don't pull my punches is, as a content creator, I'm creating a content platform, an advertising platform for people who like what I do. I'm not a partisan political person. I'm not going to grind an axe for a particular point of view. I have my observations, agree or disagree with them. It's the ability to create the content on a day-to-day basis that keeps people listening because hopefully it's a different point of view. And I've worked really hard to present an independent point of view, an almost disconnected point of view in terms of politics and society, of just sort of observing it. And when I have an opinion, you know it's my opinion. But when it comes to politics, I steadfastly refuse to endorse candidates. And people are so cued to believe that somebody has a perspective that is trying to convince them of this, that, or the other thing. If you do a story on something, they'll call me, oh, you're one of those right-wing people, or they'll say, well, you're obviously a liberal. Or they're saying, oh, well, if you're not a liberal, you're using liberal tactics, whatever that is, that, you know, it's very hard to get people convinced that. From my perspective now, I don't have a position because I look at this now, and I'm not going to say I look at it as a circus. I look at this now as just the strangest thing ever. And it becomes interesting from that perspective. And it doesn't mean I can't talk about society and politics. And it doesn't mean that I can't provide observations to help you figure out what is going on. And that doesn't mean saying, hey, I talked to a guy who works for the government that says this. It doesn't mean saying, you know, Trump's trying to do this, or you know, Nancy Pelosi is trying to do this, or whatever, or like some of these guys, the deep state is doing. I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm not sitting in those rooms. I can't sit there and tell you, oh, well, you know, I was in a room yesterday with John Brennan and he said the following and he's an idiot. Because I don't know. I'm just like you, but my experience, whether it's in research and development or management or doing what I did in terms of talk radio, and by the way, I worked harder than anyone in talk radio. I read 300-400 pages of material a day from 2000 till I got out of the business in 2013 in terms of what I was doing. So I worked really hard to do something different. I didn't just walk in there and read the newspaper and sit there with five guys and go, blah, blah, blah. You know what I think? You know, I didn't do that. I mean, I worked really hard. And so, you know, any mistakes I made, I own them because I tried to make those mistakes. But the independent voices that are out there, especially in podcasting, are really important because they're not being driven by a particular point of view. And all of us who are doing this as an independent voice, not meaning politically independent, but meaning not controlled by one of these companies, not controlled by, you know, Disney, or not controlled by, you know, sources. So, you know, to, again, I don't want to go on and on, but what will happen is you'll say something that somebody doesn't like, and depending on who the biggest client is, they'll go to the radio station and say, we don't like this guy and you should get rid of him. And, you know, 25, 30, 40 years ago, radio stations would say, you know what, thank you for your input, but we decide who is on the air and we decide which songs we play and we decide how we do things. You don't get to decide. You're an advertiser and we would love to have your business, but if you're not going to be an advertiser, go away. Well, today, the sales departments run these companies. They don't. There is no product development at these companies, and I don't care how many vice presidents in charge of programming there are at these radio companies or television programming, you know, companies. The sales departments run those companies, and when the sales effort is impeded because somebody did something, everyone panics instead of saying, this is the way we do things. We are creative companies. We produce creative content, and we're not going to have people tell us what we can do and what we can't do. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. So the only people that have that capability are independent podcasters who are supporting themselves and providing an advertising platform for people who are willing to say, you know what? I'm going to support this podcast because this is somebody who's actually trying to help and who isn't taking a side and who isn't saying this, that, and the other thing, as opposed to people who are put out there by the Breitbarts of the world or the, you know, the Mercers of the world or the Tom Steyers of the world. These are these large contributors, and there's a purpose to them because what they're trying to do is to control the media battle space by putting certain opinions on. And it's true on YouTube as well, where you see these supposedly independent videos. which are being produced by RT, Russia Today, or being produced by a more shadowy force, because what they have an agenda in terms of controlling the way people think or inserting ideas into the way people think. And again, I'm not talking about people who are super hyper-partisan. I'm talking about people who are taking a more detached point of view. And it's something that you really have to research. A lot of times, people will do a podcast, and they're working for the Republican or the Democratic Party. They're employed by a political party, or they are getting juice from a political party, or they're a political consultant. And you have to know this. There's very few genuinely independent podcasters who are creating content and not just sitting there with a bunch of people yucking it up. They're actually sitting there and creating content and giving you stuff to think about. And so we need to support those people. And, you know, that's what this podcast was all about, is identifying people who are independent. In other words, not affiliated with these huge aggregator sites, not affiliated with public radio, not affiliated with public television, not affiliated with CNN or NBC or, you know, any of these big media companies, but sitting there, as I am, thinking about what they're going to do and then doing it. I think about what I'm going to talk about, and then I sit down and I do it. Nobody's telling me what I can talk about. My clients don't tell me what I can talk about. And the reason is, the philosophy of my company is, we produce content. We're producing creative content. And there is a production side of the business, and there is a sales side of the business. There, all the content on the website is organic. All the content in the podcast is organic. And the clients don't get to tell me what kind of podcast I'm going to do. Now, I just had a recent client, and you know, actually it's happened twice, where I had potential clients or people that I network with say, hey, you should call this guy and do a podcast with him. And I've vetted the person and said, you know what, I think I will. And I have done it. So that's, you know, that's, there's nothing wrong with that, whether they're clients or not, where they say, you should talk to this guy. But I've also had many times where clients have said, you should talk to this guy. And I've said, nah, I don't think so. I've decided, for whatever reason, I don't think I want to do that. So what we're talking about is organic content, particularly when it comes to politics and society, people who are not picking a side. And I think this is going to become a trend, especially with independent podcasting today, because you just can't trust these corporations, regardless of whether you think they're good. Public radio, for example, it's a public good and it's great because they produce great content. Yeah, if it's about serial killers, that's one thing. But when they're out there producing content that's giving you information about politics, you really need to think about it, and you need to augment the New York Times podcast or the Washington Post podcast or the NBC or the CBS morning podcast or whatever is out there with independent voices that are not affiliated, because they will tell these people what they can talk about it. And if they don't toe the line and be good boys, they'll get rid of them. And I should say, as an independent voice, I really, really appreciate the guys at PodSearch, where you can find information on the Bob Davis podcast. I also appreciate all my clients and people who've supported me through the years. You know, you have clients, and sometimes they are not able to stay with you for a long period of time. And I every single one of my clients, I try to work hard for and do the most I can do for. And it's very important as an independent voice in this business to have your support, guys. So I appreciate that. And speaking of that, let's talk about Alpha Systems. If you're heading over to the EAA Air Show in Oshkosh this summer, you know you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and Alpha makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. They'll be in Building 3. It's either C or 3, I don't remember, at EAA, and there will be six deep by the Alpha Systems booth, because every pilot is interested in being safe, and that is why they make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Click on the Alpha Systems banner at the top of the page of the Bob Davis podcast for more info on Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast on Spotify, iTunes. Tune in if you have Alexa, Stitcher.com, Google Play Music, and I appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm getting ready to sally forth. I will tell you more about where I am going once I head out in mobile podcast command, and I will need your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Just look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command and click on the donate button, and PayPal does the rest, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Podcast 837, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
The people came Some of them came and played. Others give flowers away. Yes, they did. Upon the crowd, their music being born of love, children.